Well, I'm thankful for those who are willing to obey the Lord. Sister Stephanie said we'll need to schedule his baptism for 2 weeks from now, so we'll be planning on 2 weeks from now on Sunday morning. We'll plan on carrying out his baptism. I was older than Caden was, but in the summer of 1973, as an 18-year-old, that's what happened to me too. The Lord touched me, made me whole, gave me eternal life. Been with me ever since. I like to read some scripture before you today from the 17th chapter of the Gospel according to John. If you would like to read with me, please turn to John chapter 17, beginning with verse 1. Going to read today the words of a prayer. John 17, verse 1. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said. And from here on, the rest of what I want to read in this are the words of a prayer that the Lord Jesus prayed while he was here on the earth towards the end of his earthly life. Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine. Thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And I want to stop reading there with verse 17. I would encourage all of you to just finish reading that down through verse 26, but that's as far as I want to read in my scripture reading. I believe the Lord, in this prayer, in these words that he prayed, we can see in this what we are to be as God's people. He made mention of this more than once concerning the disciples, that he said, they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now he said in this prayer, I'm not asking you, Father, to take them out of the world. I don't pray for that, but that you would keep them from the evil of it. We as God's people, and this is not really what I'm going to speak about today, but I believe that's what the Lord expects us to be. We are in the world, but he expects us to be not of the world. The Lord didn't establish, even though his kingdom is in the world, it's a spiritual kingdom, and we are to look to spiritual things. But I want to speak to you today about where I concluded my reading with this simple statement made by the Lord Jesus in this prayer. In the last verse that I read, verse 17, he simply said and asked God to sanctify those disciples through his truth. And he said, thy word is truth. That's what I would like to speak about for just a little while. God's word is truth. Now, I want to say first of all that that statement, ought to be taken as emphatically as it's made. God's word is truth. And there's nothing that you and I or anybody else will ever do to change the fact that God's word is truth. Amen. Now Jesus, he didn't say that God's word is truth if it is believed or if it is practiced. He simply said, God's word, Lord, thy word is truth. And that's exactly what it is. It only benefits those that will believe it and those that will apply it to their lives. They're the only ones that benefit from it. But I say that when God sent forth his word, that, thank God for those that have believed, but if there would have never been a single person from Adam until now that would have embraced God's word as being truth, it would have still been truth. Amen. God's word is truth. We don't make it truth by believing it. His word is truth. And I like what we find in the 119th Psalm in verse 89. The psalmist David simply said, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. God's word is truth. It always has been truth. And it will always be the truth. And I'm thankful today that we have the truth. I'm thankful that, there are people, we live in a rather mixed up world, it seems. There are some people believe in this and don't believe in this. And of course, we know that there are people in the world today by their own admission that don't even believe in God. I believe that perhaps things that I hear people say, I believe that perhaps there are some that they believe that there is a God, but they put no stock at all into the scriptures or into God's word. I can't see any sense in anyone believing in a God, this great supreme almighty being that would not have given us his instructions, that would have just left his creation in the dark. I don't believe that God would have done that, and certainly God did not do that. He did not leave us in the dark. Now, we don't know everything about God. God is somebody last night, I believe it was at the fellowship out there was talking about just how big that God really is. And we don't know all about God, and we don't know the mysteries of God, but I'm thankful for what He has given us in His Word that we're able to know about God. We're able to know about His truth. God did not leave us without any instruction. He gave us instruction as to what He expects. And as Brother Wheat spoke about this morning, you know, two of the great themes that you can find in the Scriptures throughout all the Bible, starting from the first chapter of Genesis until the very end of the book of Revelation, you can find these two concepts taught throughout all of the Scriptures of God's reward for obedience to His Word and of God's punishment for disobedience to it. And God will do both of those things. We have in His Word, in His true Word, we have what God expects of His creation here in this world. We have the things written in His Word, those things that God has commanded us. And when you look in the 119th Psalm in verse 105, when David was expressing his love of God's Word, when he said, "Thy Word has been a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path," he wasn't just simply talking about God's Word exciting him at times or instilling excitement in him at times. He was talking about living his life, or trying it anyway to the best of his ability. I know that we're all going to fall short in things, but David was talking about that, about the Word of God illuminating his path, because he was trying to live his life according to God's precepts. That's how that God's Word can be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It won't be that if you don't try to apply it to your life. We've got to try to live by His Word in order for it to light the path that is before us. God's truth. We find things recorded in the Scriptures today, and I just want to, in this message today, I want to testify before you today. I want to give personal testimony before this congregation of people that has assembled here today, that I believe with all my heart that God has given to us the truth, that His Word is truth, and the things that God has told us in His Word are yet to come to pass. They will absolutely come to pass. They will come to pass. You know, this is not a game. When we preach God's Word, when we teach a Sunday school class, or when we testify, whatever that it may be, concerning God's Word, we're talking about something that is serious. We're talking about something, friends, that don't just deal with time. It deals with eternal matters. It deals with the eternal well-being of souls. And listen, I want you to know today, if you are lost and without the Lord, that your soul hangs in the balance, because God has taught us in His Word what will befall those who fail to seek Him and who fail to be born again, who fail to make things right with God. His Word has taught us what will befall those people. And it will. And it will be carried out. It will be executed. We find things in God's Word that have already happened. I mean, there are many things recorded in God's Word of truth that have already taken place. And you know what? I testify again before you today that I believe them. I believe them. I believe that God created the world. I don't care what anybody else says about it or how many other theories that people come up with. I am convinced that what we are told in the opening of the Scriptures in the book of Genesis about how the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. and how that God went on to create all vegetation and all animal life and the fish of the sea and the fowls of the air and created man. I am convinced that we were told the truth of how all this got here. Regardless of, I would imagine that before time comes to an end, that people will even come up with more ideas than what they already have. But God created us. There are people that believe that, and I know this to be a fact, there are people that believe that things recorded in God's word, that they were just a myth, that they were just a fable, that though they were cleverly written, that they were written as a fable or as a type of story. But I want to just tell you some things briefly that I believe that these things really happened. You know, I believe there was a man one time by the name of Jonah that was swallowed by a fish because he disobeyed the commandment of God. I believe it happened. I believe there was a time when there was a band of people, probably 2 to 3 million people in number, that were fleeing Egypt on the Exodus, and they came up to the Red Sea and they were blocked there. And the Bible tells us how that God, in delivering them, how that he caused a strong east wind to blow through the night, and God divided those waters to where he had them stand up as great walls of water, and those children of Israel marched through there on dry ground, didn't get muddy, didn't get mud on their feet. They marched through there on dry ground, and then as the Egyptians pursued them, God closed up the walls of water and drowned them in the sea, and I believe it happened. I believe it happened. I believe it was real. I don't believe it was some kind of fable. I believe that there were three men, and we read some remarkable things in the scriptures. I spoke about these here before you just not too long ago. But folks, I'm going to tell you something. I believe that this was real. I believe there were three men. Their names were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, or as you knew them in their Babylonian names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these men, because they would not bow their knees to anybody but the true and the living God, because they refused to bow their knees to Nebuchadnezzar's false god, they were thrown into a fiery furnace. I'm talking about flesh and blood men that were thrown into a fiery furnace there. And God, in a great and miraculous way, delivered them out of that fire. And they came out of that fire, and they did not smell of smoke, and they were not singed. There was nothing about them physically that you could even tell that they had been in the fire. You can call it a fable if that's what you choose to do. I believe it happened. I believe it was real. I believe God still has that type of power today. There are things that we read about, and listen, if you don't use anything but your carnal mind, you couldn't believe them, because it defies everything. It defies everything about your carnal mind, doesn't it? It defies all physics. It defies what we would call all laws of nature. I mean, these things, you believe them or you don't. The only way that we find things, many things written in God's word of truth, that the only way to embrace those things is by faith. By faith. You know, people believe it or they don't. They believe it or they don't. I pray that God will grant you the faith to believe. Not only to believe the facts, but to believe to the saving of your soul. To totally trust in Him. Listen to what Paul told Timothy was a great advantage to the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. Paul said to Timothy, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, Are you thankful today for those who taught you the Holy Scriptures? I am. I was exposed to them just like Timothy was in the days of my childhood. I was exposed to the truth of God's Word. It's the greatest truth that I've ever known. And he said, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And those today, those that have in the past, and those today that still make the claim that the Bible is nothing more than just something written by man, I like to call those people wrong. They're wrong. It's more than that. It was given by inspiration of God. And it's all profitable. I'm telling you today, the truth of God's Word, folks, it's profitable for our lives. It's profitable for reproof. That was one of the things. Oh, we don't like that one, do we? We don't like that one. I'll tell you what, we live in a world today. I'll tell you, I made mention a moment ago that there are things that have already happened that are recorded in God's words. There are things that are presently happening that are recorded in God's word. And I believe one of those big things that we have record of in his word that is currently happening is what the Apostle Paul spoke of when he wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy, when he told Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they'll do what? They'll turn their ears away from the truth and be turned unto fables. And folks, I'll tell you what, I believe that is happening in the day that we live in. We have people that want to deny the truth of God's word. Why? So that they can do any kind of vile thing that they want to do, so that they can, you know, men can marry men and women can marry women, and those things and many other things that are just the Word of God teaches us that those things are sin and those things are abominable, but there are people that want to turn their ears away from that and do whatever they want to do. And you know what? Listen, right here in the United States of America, there are people that even hold prominent positions in public office. And you know what they're saying? You know what they're saying to the masses? This is sad to me. To me, this is a horrible thought. But they're saying to the American people, you know what? Why don't you get rid of those archaic beliefs and let people do what they want to do? Am I right? Is that not what we're being told? Why don't you lay aside, you know, those things that you're talking about? They were written many, many, many years ago. Those are old archaic writings and archaic beliefs. Why don't you move into the present century? Why don't you leave those old historic archaic writings behind and let people live their lives? Folks, I'm going to tell you something. The things that God taught us in His Word when He moved up on those holy men years and years and years ago and inspired them to write His holy writ, those things that God pronounced wrong in that day, they're still wrong today. Those things that God pronounced to be right in that day, they're still right in the day that we live in. You can't change God's word. You can change the way you live according to it and receive the punishment thereof, but you cannot change God's word. It's settled in heaven forever and forever. It's settled in heaven. And no matter what we do, or no matter what people think, God's word is truth. It's truth. The word of God teaches me that all those that fail to seek the Lord and be born again will spend an eternity in hell. They'll spend an eternity in torment, separated forever from the love and the presence of God. I'll tell you what, folks, rest assured, it's true. It's true. Rest assured, there are people right now that are already suffering the torments of that evil place because they failed to place their trust in the Lord and to believe His word and to be saved while they had the time and the opportunity to do so. The Apostle Peter said, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. It's profitable for correction. It's profitable for reproof. We don't like that, do we? Let's be honest. Be honest with your own heart. We don't like the reproof part of it, do we? I mean, we don't like it when God's word reproves us about something. Folks, I'm going to tell you, oftentimes even we as Christian people, even we as the children of God, we don't like it when we get reproved. We'd just rather not hear that part of it. You know, we'd rather just, I like those sermons. You can get a lot of amens preaching about the love of God. I like those sermons. I like those sermons that build me up and make me feel good about myself, but you go to preaching about how I'm supposed to live my life as a Christian and the Word of God begins to reprove me. We don't like that. We'd rather turn a deaf ear to those things. But I'll tell you, the Scriptures tell me that it's all profitable to us. It's all profitable. If you really want to let God's word be a lamp to your feet and a light to your path, be willing to take all of it. Be willing to take all the counsel of God. It will reprove us and it will instruct us. You know, the Lord never did and never does show us where we're wrong without showing us what to do to make it right. He never does show us, and I'll say this, brethren, as preachers, don't ever preach the reproof without also preaching the remedy. Because the Lord, if we look back again concerning those that are lost, in your unbelief, lost friend, you're going to split hell wide open. And you're going to be punished there forever and forever. But I've got good news for you. God sent a Savior. God sent His only begotten Son into this world. And there is a way for you to be saved. He made the way. Jesus is the way. He's the way, He's the truth, and the life. And anybody that will come to Him on the terms of the gospel can be saved. God didn't leave us here. He didn't leave us lost and in our sins without a way of escape. And so I wanted to share those things with you today. I love God's word. I wish I knew more about it. I hope that, however long that God leaves me on the earth, I hope that I can learn maybe more about God's word. Maybe more, learn more about His truth and more about Him and more about His cause. You know, we ought to be striving to learn all the time more about God and about His word. I'll tell you what, when I die, which, that's up to the Lord. When that time comes, that's entirely up to the Lord. But when I die, I'm telling you, I am going down to the grave believing God's word. I am going to the grave believing that when they lay this corruptible body aside in death, that God is going to one day raise an incorruptible body. I'm going to the grave hanging on to the promise of God's word of a better resurrection. And God hasn't brought that to pass yet. This body that I have is aging. The body you have is aging. It's sick. It's growing weaker, more feeble day from day. The outward man's perishing, isn't he? You know, we find that in God's word. If you wonder why this is happening to you, if you wonder why this is happening in your body, just go read Ecclesiastes 12. Or go read what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He said, the outward man is perishing. It's perishing. The inward man is renewed day by day. And so I will die embracing his word and his promise of a better resurrection, of a better body than what I've had here. I appreciate your attention today, and I want to encourage you to study the word of God. Learn all that you can about the word of God. A disciple is a learner. That's what it means, a learner. A disciple is a student, and we need to be striving to learn all the days of our life. If you're lost, as Paul said to Timothy, the Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation, not to save you, but to make you wise about how that you can be saved, and that's through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I would like for us to maybe just have a verse or two of a song, and let's stand and sing at this time. Appreciate your attention today.